Special hello to those of you who call Antioch home. Those of you who are visiting with us today, thanks for being here with us today. And a special hello to those of you who are watching online. An extra special hello to my sister who watches every Sunday. And an extra, extra special hello to my father-in-law, Pawpaw. So my father-in-law lives in Texas, and he is a huge New England Patriots fan. So this past week, he's been kind of grieving and mourning the loss and things like that. So that's who my wife was referring to when she said, you know, even when we grieve. So, but I want you to know, Pawpaw, even through your grief, even through the loss of the New England Patriots, you can still say, great is the Lord. So thanks for watching us today. Thanks for that. So we're going to go ahead and get started. We're in Mark chapter 11 today. We're still going through the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 11, verses 46 through 52 today. So earlier this week, I was working at a coffee shop when I struck up a conversation with an 86-year-old man named Don. I was working at one table, Don was working at another, and he saw my Bible and some things, and he came and we just started talking. And Don has been following Jesus for decades. He's now 86 years old, still has a lot of just energy and spunk and fire to him. And I sat and talked. And so I was asking him about his journey of following Jesus. And one of the things that he shared with me while we were sitting there in the coffee shop was, faith is a journey. And one of the things that you can expect on the journey is to meet obstacles. To have ups and downs and times of life where things just aren't going the way you want them to, or you come into against conflict or barriers or things like that. He said, I've been following Jesus for decades, and I can guarantee you two things. Number one, Jesus is good. But number two, you will face obstacles. And he said, looking back over these decades, I can always see whatever obstacle I faced, whatever it was, even if I didn't know how it was going to work out, Jesus worked it out. And so I enjoyed sitting and talking with him earlier this week. Church, here's the main point of today's message. Throughout life, our faith will meet obstacles. Throughout life, our faith will meet obstacles. And if we let them, they can like take our focus off of the sovereignty and the goodness of Jesus, if we let them. On the other hand, if we stay focused on Jesus, and if we root ourselves in the goodness of Jesus, and if we respond in faith, that makes all the difference for us on our faith journey. Amen? And I want to be clear. I want to be clear as we get started today. Today, this is not a self-help message. So this is not a message about, you know, like when you face obstacles, just keep trying harder and harder and harder in your own strength, and eventually you'll get to where you want to be. Today's message is not a self-help message. It's actually the opposite. It's about when you face obstacles, you don't look at yourself, you look at Jesus, and you look to Jesus. So with that as an introduction, if you would stand as you're able, as we look at Mark chapter 11, verses 46 through 52. Here's the word of the Lord. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man named Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Look at verse 48. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus. Your faith has healed you. Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. This is the beautiful word of God. You may be seated. So, church, our passage today takes place in a city named Jericho. Jericho is an interesting city. It's one of the oldest cities in the world. An interesting fact, it's also the lowest lying city on earth at 846 feet below sea level. So it's one of the oldest cities on earth, and it's the lowest lying city on earth. And there were actually two Jerichos during Jesus' time that we're looking at today. The older city was the one that all the way back in the Old Testament, Joshua had conquered and destroyed. That was the older Jericho. The newer Jericho was built about a mile from that site, from the older city. And this is the one that Jesus passes through today in our passage. So this newer Jericho is about 18 miles from Jerusalem. If you remember from last time, Jesus and his disciples are on the way to Jerusalem. And so they stop in Jericho, which is about 18 miles from there. And the two cities, Jericho and Jerusalem, are connected by a highway. There's a highway that connected the two cities that people would travel along. And because the highway that connected the two cities was so busy, it was common during this time for beggars and people who were poor to, like, they would strategically position themselves along the side of the road to ask for money for people who were traveling on the highway. So they would, like, sit there and hope that people would give them money. And this is what a man by the name of Bartimaeus is doing in our passage today. He's posted himself on the side of the road that leads from Jericho to Jerusalem because he hopes that someone will stop and give him money. And not only is Bartimaeus a beggar, but he's also blind. And so from this, we learn three important things about Bartimaeus. First, because he's blind, he has a stigma attached to him that comes from what people thought during this time. Remember, and we've talked about this before, during this time, if you were blind or if you had some kind of disability, they thought during this time it was because you were being punished because either you did something wrong or your parents did something wrong to upset God. So that's what they thought during this time. If you were blind, someone in your family messed up. And the way God was punishing you was to take your vision away. He would not allow you to see. That's what they thought during this time. That was the punishment that was from God. So that's the first thing that Bartimaeus has going on. He has this shame and this embarrassment that he has to live with, this societal shame wherever he goes. Secondly, because he's begging on the side of the road, it probably means he doesn't have a family who wants to care for him. He's all alone in this world, and, you know, his only means of support was to sit by the side of the road and to beg for money from other people. So this is the situation that Bartimaeus is in. He's blind. He's alone. He has this shame that goes with him wherever he goes because everyone thinks someone in his family or he did something to mess up, and he's begging on the side of the road. But here's the third thing about Bartimaeus, and this is the most important thing we learn about him. He has faith. He has faith in Jesus. Despite the condition that he's in and the shame that he has to live with and the fact that he probably doesn't have a family to go to, he has faith in Jesus. And his faith is going to change his life. His faith in Jesus is going to change his life. But it's also going to face an obstacle. Here's what happens. One day while he's sitting on the side of the road, Bartimaeus hears a commotion in the distance. And it's the sound of a large group of people who are coming his way. And so more than likely what happens is Bartimaeus, he hears the commotion and he probably asks someone, "What's going on? What's all of that noise?" And they tell him, "Jesus of Nazareth was about to pass by." So Bartimaeus, like many people during this time, he's heard about Jesus and all the healings and the miracles that he's done in other people. So he knows that if Jesus can do this for other people, if he can restore the sight for other people, if he can make the lame to walk, and if he can, you know, cast out demons and do this for other people, he can do it for me as well. So he has faith. So he hears that Jesus is coming along the road. And look what it does. Remember, it's not just Jesus and his disciples, but it's a large group of people who are traveling with them. Look what it does. It says he makes a loud noise. And so it's loud and people are talking and walking. But Bartimaeus is determined to not let Jesus pass him by. So to get Jesus' attention, despite the crowd and the noise, Bartimaeus shouts, "Jesus, have mercy on me." His shouting comes from a place of desperation. He's desperate to get out of this situation. He wants to be able to see. He doesn't want this stigma attached to him anymore. So he shouts. He wants his life changed, and he knows that Jesus can heal him. So his shouting comes from his faith. But here it is. His faith is about to meet an obstacle. As soon as he starts shouting, "Jesus, have mercy on me," look what immediately happens next. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. So get this, the people who are right there with Jesus, walking with Jesus, talking with Jesus, are the exact people who become an obstacle for someone who's trying to seek Jesus. If Jesus has shown us anything in the Gospel of Mark, it's that Jesus is sensitive to the needs of other people, especially people who are desperate or marginalized by society or who are outcasts. Those are the people Jesus shows the most care and concern for. But when a blind beggar tries to get Jesus' attention, the people who are right there with him, they tell him to be quiet. The reason they do this was because of, remember, the social situation that he's in. He's seen as insignificant. He's seen as a nobody. He's seen like he doesn't have any importance. He doesn't have anything to offer to the world. So in their minds, even though they can reach out and touch Jesus, and he's been teaching about this, in their minds, Jesus is too busy. Jesus is too important to be bothered by this blind beggar. So the same people who were supposed to tell him to come to Jesus, instead of inviting him to come to Jesus, they do the opposite. They tell him to go away from Jesus. And they tell him to keep quiet. So by doing this, here's the message that they are conveying to Bartimaeus. He's crying out to Jesus, "Have mercy on me." Here's what they're saying back to him. "You're not important enough. You need to go away." So you see what happens here. Bartimaeus has faith, and he shouts his faith, and he expresses his faith. He's living out his faith, but his faith is immediately met with an obstacle. And he hears this. Bartimaeus, he hears this. He hears the crowd shouting back at him to be quiet. And he knows in this moment that his faith is being tested and that he has one of two things he can do. One of two things. He can either give in to the crowd and be quiet, do what they're saying, or he can stand strong on his faith. So do I do what they're telling me to do? Or do I stand strong on my faith? And the way he responds, it shows you and I exactly what you do when your faith meets an obstacle. Look what he does. But he shouted all the more. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." It says he shouted all the more. This doesn't necessarily mean that he shouted louder, but that he kept shouting. He kept shouting despite what the people were telling him to do. He doesn't keep shouting to drown out the people. He's not concerned about the people. He keeps shouting because he's focused on Jesus. This is what it means to have persistent faith. You keep going despite what's going on. You keep shouting to Jesus. You keep pouring out your heart to Jesus. He keeps shouting. You keep going in your persistent faith. By shouting, he's pouring out his heart to Jesus. And then what happens when he does that? Jesus says two words. He responds with two words that mean everything for us in this passage. Jesus says, "Call him." That phrase, "call him," means to come close. Bring that person close. Bring him close to me. In a world where everyone else wanted him to stay away, in a world where everyone else wanted him to feel insignificant and feel like he didn't have any worth because he was blind, Jesus says, come close. And it's the same thing Jesus still says to us today. Call him. Call her. Come close to me. It's interesting what happens. The people tell him to cheer up. They say, cheer up, because Jesus is calling you. So the same people who just a few seconds ago were telling him to stay away are now telling him to come close. So Jesus works in their heart, and their hearts are changed. But what had to happen first? Jesus had to speak. Is anyone in here glad that Jesus still says, come close? Despite your past or whatever it is, or when you feel insignificant, despite what people are saying, Jesus is still calling us, and he says, come close. So Bartimaeus is so excited, he throws off his cloak, and he jumps to his feet, and he runs to Jesus. He's so excited. Let me ask you a question. Do you remember how excited you were when Jesus called you? Do you remember how the excitement and the joy when you realize, listen, Jesus didn't hold things against you. Your past and your sins and the way you used to do things and the way you used to live and what other people may have said, or maybe even the way you viewed yourself, Jesus does not hold that against us. He says, listen, come close to me. I want to have a relationship with you. Yes, you've done things in the past. You've messed up. You didn't get it right. You sinned. You were under the weight of stuff. But listen, this is a new day. Come close. This is why we can't let people stop us from getting close to Jesus, because whatever, despite people say, Jesus is still calling us close. So he tells Bartimaeus, call him. Come close. So he gets to Jesus, and Jesus asks him, what do you want me to do for you? And I love his response. He says, I want to see. Like, I want to see. Let me ask you, it's okay. Like, what do you want Jesus to do in your life? He says four words. I want to see. How would you fill that in? Jesus, I want to blank. Like, what do you want Jesus, what do you want Jesus to do? So Jesus tells him his faith has healed him. And Bartimaeus knows that his life has been changed, and he begins to follow Jesus. He doesn't stay on the side of the road. Notice that. He gets his sight, and then he doesn't stay there. He follows Jesus. So what is Jesus calling us to do? When we get healing from Jesus, and when we give our lives to Jesus, and when he transforms us and moves and works in our lives, there's going to be some times where you're not going to be able to stay where you were. He doesn't stay by the side of the road. He gets up. And he follows Jesus. So in what ways are you still staying by the side of the road? Even though Jesus has given you sight. So when you look at this, I think there are two big obstacles that Bartimaeus faced. And when you look at how he handled them and how he responded in faith, we can take courage and we can draw strength today. The first one, I think, is what I would call situational obstacles. Situational obstacles. I think we can really find encouragement from the way Bartimaeus handled the situation he found himself in. Remember what it meant to be blind. Not only did everyone think you were being punished for some sin that your family committed, but you were also viewed as insignificant. So it was hard to be blind. It was hard to be a beggar. Bartimaeus is a blind beggar. He's both. During this time, it's hard to be blind, it's hard to be a beggar, and he's got both. That's his situation. But I thought about this. Here's the toughest part. It was all something that he didn't ask for. Like, he didn't ask to be blind, but the situation happened to him. The situation happened to him. He's blind, and he's a beggar. And now he's feeling the effects of a situation that he didn't ask for. But what does he show us? Despite this situation, he still has faith in Jesus. And maybe you know how that feels. Maybe you're not physically blind, but maybe you know what it feels like to find yourself in a situation you didn't really ask for. Maybe you didn't ask to come from an abusive home. You didn't ask to come from a dysfunctional family. You didn't ask for that cancer diagnosis. You didn't ask for mental health struggles. You didn't ask for that. You didn't ask for your disability. You didn't ask for wayward children who are not following Jesus. You didn't ask to lose your job. You didn't ask to lose your house. You didn't ask to fall out with your family. You didn't ask to have a struggling marriage. You didn't ask for these financial struggles or to deal with anxiety or depression or loneliness. Or maybe you just didn't ask to somewhere get the short end of the stick in life. You didn't ask for someone somewhere along the way to make you feel inferior and insignificant. You didn't ask for any of that. But this is now the situation that you find yourself in. And if we're honest, your situation that you didn't ask for, but you find yourself in, if we're honest, it can become an obstacle to your faith. Because instead of pressing deeper into Jesus, saying, okay, this is what's going on, but I'm going to trust Jesus. Instead of doing that, we can become mad at our situation, mad at our circumstances, mad at what's happening to us. And we can become bitter. And you can begin to like step away from your faith because of what's happened to you in life. You didn't ask for it, but instead of pressing into Jesus because of it, you get like upset and you like turn away from God and you get mad. You get this bitterness or this woe is me kind of like pity party. And you want everyone to feel sorry for you because of the situation that you're in. None of those are healthy. None of those are healthy responses to your situation. What does Bartimaeus show us? When this happens, we don't let our situation cause us to lose faith in Jesus or lose sight of the fact that Jesus can move in a situation or change that situation. It's why Bartimaeus began to shout when he heard that it was Jesus. It's why he kept shouting when he heard that it was Jesus, because he knew Jesus is real. Jesus is good. Jesus is faithful. So if you're in a situation today, you didn't ask for it, but it happened to you, you keep shouting to Jesus. You keep shouting. You press in because Bartimaeus knew that if anyone could change the situation, it was Jesus. He didn't blame Jesus for his condition. He poured out his heart to Jesus because of his situation. So that's what we do today. And you remind yourself, no problem that I ever face is beyond the sovereignty of God. No problem that you ever face is beyond the sovereignty of God. Because listen, I get it. I've had it happen. I'm pretty sure everyone in here has had this happen where you look up one day and you're like, how did this happen to me? How did I get here? What happened? And you didn't ask for it. But life happens to us all. Car accidents and diagnosis, and you lose your job, and like stuff happens and it's unexpected, and like things just happen. He found himself, he's a blind beggar. He didn't ask to be a blind beggar. No one in the right mind would wake up and say, I want to be a blind beggar, but he found himself there, but he also knew the power of Jesus. So that's what you do today. Or the next time something happens to you that's outside of your control, you keep shouting to Jesus. You keep pouring out your heart to Jesus. Amen. So that's the first. It's those situational obstacles that we can face. The second one is what I call relational obstacles. Relational obstacles. Bartimaeus, he already had, so think about this. He already had the situation going on of him being a blind beggar. And then what happens? The exact people who were walking and talking with Jesus, the exact people who were supposed to help him through the situation, are the ones who actually try to make it harder for him. They become the obstacle. They don't represent Jesus well. The exact people who were supposed to represent Jesus well don't represent Jesus well. And so I thought about this in terms of two things, in terms of church hurt and spiritual abuse. Church hurt and spiritual abuse. Maybe there are people in your life who at one point they claimed to be close to Jesus, who you thought they had a strong spiritual life and they were following Jesus and they were Christians and you know they had it all together. And when you think about like a spiritual mentor or a person who was close to Jesus, you thought about this person, but maybe along the way somewhere they did things or they said things that hurt you and they didn't represent Jesus well. And then because of that, you've been carrying some level of church hurt along the way because of that or because of some spiritual abuse. And it has become an obstacle in your faith. What does Bartimaeus show us? We cannot let, don't let the shortcomings and faults of other people, even other Christians, become an obstacle in your faith. Because it's interesting when you read this. If you notice, Bartimaeus, he shouts and he shouts and he shouts, but he doesn't shout at the people. He never shouts at the people. In fact, when you read this story, Bartimaeus never actually addressed the people. He never actually talked to the obstacle. What did he do? He shouts for Jesus. He pours his heart out to Jesus. He's focused on Jesus. He never addresses the people, even though they're not being loving towards him, even though they're supposed to be right there with Jesus, they're not being loving towards him. And if he let it, he could have said, these people are walking with Jesus, but they're being mean to me. I don't want anything to do with Jesus. I don't want anything to do with that religion. That's what he could have done. That's what so many people do when they experience some level of spiritual abuse or church hurt because of people who are supposed to represent Jesus and they don't represent Jesus well. They push people away and say, I don't want anything to do with that. Notice what Bartimaeus does. He does the exact opposite. And he presses further into Jesus. So he doesn't ever shout at the people. He shouts for Jesus. And maybe somewhere along the way, you've been shouting at other people. You've been angry at other people. Your energy has been directed at other people. Because they were supposed to lead you closer to Jesus. They were supposed to show you what a godly lifestyle was. But because they let you down or they hurt you or they neglected you, when you needed them most, you've been like carrying this church hurt weight. Today, you can redirect your energy and your passion away from the person that hurt you or that was mean or whatever or that didn't represent Jesus well, and you can like put it towards Jesus. Because remember, their attitude toward Bartimaeus changed, but it didn't come from Bartimaeus shouting at them. It came from Jesus showing them that Bartimaeus is important to him. So today you can begin to trust Jesus with other people, and you can trust Jesus with the hearts of other people. Because maybe like you have some church hurt or some church conflict or things like that, and you've been like angry and you've been holding on to this bitterness and all of this for years and years because of what someone did and things like that. Listen, you cannot change someone. That's why I love the fact that it shows Bartimaeus never says a word to the people. They're shouting at him. He never says a word to them. Everything he says is to Jesus. So today you can like stop focusing on the person and start focusing on Jesus. Amen. So here's what we want to do as we close today. I want to invite Josh up. Because you know who modeled this best was Jesus himself. When Jesus went to the cross, think about the situation that he was in. Never sinned. Jesus never sinned. But he took on the weight of the sins of the world. He had to go to the cross. And then you think about the relational obstacles that he faced and the fact that people were mocking him and making fun of him and beating him and doing all these things to him. But what does he do? He doesn't focus on them. He focuses on doing the will of his Father. He doesn't let other people become an obstacle to his faith. And so this is what I want to do as we close today. I want to ask you to think about two things. Number one, is there a situation in your life right now that you're letting be an obstacle to your faith? Is there a situation you're going through? Remember the situation Bartimaeus was in. But he shows us, I'm not going to let this stop me from Jesus. Jesus is coming. So is there a situation you're facing that could be an obstacle in your faith? Number two, is there a relational obstacle that you could be dealing with? And maybe it's not something happening right now. Maybe it's something from years ago, decades ago. Someone said something, did something, and they didn't represent Jesus well. And you've been holding on to that for all this time. You can be free from that today. And you can be free to be who Jesus has called you to be. You can say, I'm not going to let this situation stop me. I'm not going to let this relational obstacle stop me. I'm going to get up from the side of the road and I'm going to trust Jesus with whatever it is. So I want to invite us to just a time of just silent reflection between you and Jesus. And first, as Josh plays, ask yourself, is there a situation that's an obstacle to my faith? And two, is there a relationship that's an obstacle to my faith? Father, we know that so often in life, things happen to us that we simply did not expect. We didn't see coming. So often we have our own plans and dreams and hopes for our lives, and then things happen along the way. And we find ourselves in situations that we could have never expected. This passage today shows us, Jesus, that when that happens, we don't let it interfere in our faith with you. And for some in here, for some, it may be a really, really tough situation. I mean, we see that Bartimaeus was blind and a beggar, two of the hardest things to deal with at this time. And he had both. And yet, despite the fact that this man had both, he kept his eyes on you, Jesus. He did not let his situation derail his faith. And that's what we want to do today. We don't want to let whatever we're going through cause us to lose sight of you, and that you're still coming, and that you're here now. So I pray over anyone who's here today who's dealing with something that's just an obstacle, and they can realize, you know, somewhere along the way, I took my eyes off of Jesus and I've been focused more on the situation and trying to figure out a way to get out of that, trying to figure out a way to get my own answers to this instead of looking to you, Jesus. Free us from that. And maybe there's someone here today who you've given sight to and they've put their trust in you, but for whatever reason, still sitting on the side of the road. Bartimaeus shows us what to do, Jesus. When you transform our lives, we follow you. We get up and we become people who live out our faith. We don't stay where we used to be. When this story started, Bartimaeus was on the side of the road. At the end of the story, he's walking with you, Jesus. That's what we want to do today. So convict us, show us where we've been sitting on the side of the road, where we need to get up and start walking with you in faith, Jesus. And then for some, we know that spiritual abuse and church hurt is a deep, deep wound that can go back years ago. And we see from this passage that a lot of times people who are claiming to be walking and talking with Jesus can sometimes become an obstacle in another person's faith. The people who are with Jesus told another man to stay away. We don't want to be like that. So if there's anyone who's here today that has been carrying the weight of church hurt or spiritual abuse, we pray for your freedom today. We don't want to focus on the mistakes of others. We want to focus on the grace of Jesus. We pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.